Consequence Podcast Network.
What Witch, This, That, or the Other? From Bonnaroo to Coachella, traversing the music festival landscape can be tricky. That's where we come in with high fives for everyone. The What Podcast with Brad, Barry, Lord Taco, dedicated to exploring the entire festival scene.
Brad has worked in the radio industry for more than 20 years and currently lives in Brooklyn, where he is program director for three stations, including one in New York, one in Detroit, and one in Miami.
Barry's been a reporter for the Chattanooga Times Free Press, covering all aspects of the entertainment industry since 1987. That's before you were born.
Lord Taco, the smart guy who makes these podcasts on our website at thewhatpodcast.com work, also really good at identifying babies, loves blue-haired moms, PBR, and his beautiful Volkswagen bus.
We all fell in love with the Bonnaroo Festival years ago, not only because of the amazing bands that play there every year, but also because of the incredible community spirit that has developed around it. Radiate positivity.
And we really like talking about the inside baseball stuff when it comes to putting on a huge music festival. So join us.
You can hear the What Podcast on the Consequence Podcast Network or anywhere you find your favorite podcasts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival. For people who know, you know that it's all about live music, hundreds of acts. It's about community. It's about people getting together and radiating positivity. It's also about a journey. This has been a journey for me since at least 2007. It's been a journey for my partner on the What Podcast, Russ, since at least 2018. And we have a special guest today, David Bruce, better known as I Am Bonnaroo. His journey is about what Bonnaroo is all about. This is a guy who came on a whim in 2011 and this last year had his photographs displayed in an amazing format, and he also has a new project which the Bonnaroo people came up with along with him called the Bonnaroo Yearbook. Russ, I can't think of a better example, and there are hundreds of them, and that's the point I really want to emphasize. It's not like this is an outlier, right? There are hundreds of examples.
Oh, yeah.
Of people who Bonnaroo has become a huge part of their lives for many, many reasons. But David's is a great example of this random thing that he thought he would go to. And then the Bonnaroo people reached out and said, hey, we've been paying attention to what you're doing. We love it. How can we help make it better? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you pretty much, he needs no introduction. I mean, if you listen to this show, if you go to Bonnaroo, you probably know David, or at least his work. You've seen probably the photographs that he posts. I Am Bonnaroo on Instagram. And so we're very fortunate to have him come on and talk with us about what he was able to do. And it's nice to actually talk about Bonnaroo again. You know, we've been spent the last few weeks, we've talked about Moon River, which we just had here in Chattanooga. You know, Brad went to Riot Fest. We're kind of branching out to other festivals, but, you know, with the show was kind of formed over was Bonnaroo, and it's always nice to get back to talking to it, even in, we're at now in October.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a festival that happened in June.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's big, and it's big again, we talk about it during the show. It's because it's become this year-round conversation, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, we talked last week with Brad, is this the, are we at the end of a season or the beginning of a season? And I don't know. Y'all, you guys seem to want to have those definitions, endpoints and starting points more than I do, because to me it never ends. I mean, it's just continuous.
It really doesn't matter. Right. Yeah, it's a year-round thing. It never ends. Yeah, you're just like me, where probably at least once a day you think of Bonnaroo, or at least something reminds you of something that happened to Bonnaroo, or you talk to somebody that you met from Bonnaroo, and so it's just so woven into the fabric, you know, of everything that we do, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's almost become a part of us.
And again, David,
it's like David said, yeah, he said it's made him a better person. Not to give away the interview, but yeah, you'll hear him talk about that too.
Again, he's, you know, he lives in New York, but I consider him a friend. I know you do. I mean, there's so many people that are now parts of our lives that don't live near us, you know, but I think of them as being close friends because of this festival and this community. So again, it's the journey and it's the friendships and the shared experiences and just cool people. I mean, let's just be honest. It's just cool people, right?
It is cool people. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what keeps us coming back and thinking about it and talking about it is, you know, the lineup comes out and, you know, it's going to be great, but for me, I don't care what the lineup is. I don't care who they announce.
Right.
You know, I'm going back to hang out with you and people like David and just see all these people that we talk to year round. It almost is like a homecoming thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how great is it? This last year when we were there, we're walking out of the media area and, oh, hey, there's David Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said, oh, hey, there's David. And then he came back to camp and then he followed us to do one of the interviews with one of the bands and shoot photographs. I mean, how cool is that to have this guy who's such a great photographer join us, you know, to be a part of taking these pictures. He and I mentioned Nate Gale. Nate is so great to do that. He's done it for years and years, but we're so lucky to have people like that. But that's just those sort of random things like, you know, oh, hey, you want to take a picture? Okay, cool. You know, works for us.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So here we go. Here's our interview, a visit with David Bruce. I am Bonnaroo. Russ is going to include a lot of links and not just to his work, but also his websites and what he's doing. So check it out. Please visit.
Please do, and this is one you almost want to, if you listen to the podcast on Spotify or anything, you know, you might want to check over on YouTube, because we're going to have a lot of pictures of what he's talking about and stuff. So this is almost more of a visual episode, just as it is one to listen to.
For sure, good point. All right, so that's it. Enjoy, and see you guys soon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back for another episode of the What Podcast. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. Thank you all for finding us, whatever it is you're doing. I'm Barry. On your screen there in the PBR hat is Russ, or as we like to call him, Lord Taco. We have a very special guest, as we always do. We have David Bruce with us. You might know him as I Am Bonnaroo. And thank you, David, for joining us. We are so excited to talk about this. I'm going to call this sort of a journey episode, because to me, this episode is all about the Bonnaroo journey. And you guys will understand what I mean as we get into this. But I'm so excited to talk about this, how we met, when we met, where it's gone for you, for us. It's incredible, right?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are regulars at the farm that can sort of relate to this, because
absolutely,
people go there, they make connections, they make new friends, and you know, they start calling them family. You know, it's like your extended family. So
yeah,
so yeah, for sure.
Let me see if I can set the table, if you will, and you guys please jump in and correct me if I get dates wrong or names wrong or the story wrong or whatever. But I went to the first one 2002 for the first day. Didn't attend. I covered it for the Times Free Press, Chattanooga Times Free Press, as a reporter. Realized immediately what a cool thing, and kind of wished that I was there, but also didn't want to camp, and to be quite honest, was not a big jam band fan, so it wasn't totally my scene. Flashback to 2007, the paper said, hey, we need you to start going regularly, and I said, okay, and so started going. I've been going ever since 2007. Our co-host, Brad Steiner, who is not here, as you will see. Brad lives in New York and has a whole lot of things on his plate. He's a radio guy, and so this year kind of not always with us. But he and I were having lunch regularly after that. We started hanging out quite a bit and realized we were talking about Bonnaroo all the time, year-round. And we were about to go to the 2018 Bonnaroo, which...
That's correct.
Yeah, he's been there since the beginning as well. Kind of, he missed a few early on like I did, but has been every year since. But realized we were talking about it all the time. And realized we should probably do a show. He came up with the idea for a podcast. He reached out to some guy named Lord Taco, who I'd not met, who I'd never heard of. Taco at Legend. That time stood for what? Tweeting and communicating online, which was what? A random name you plucked out of nowhere, right? I mean, am I?
Yeah, well, there was a bunch of us. There was a Dr. Taco and a Mr. Taco and Commander Taco. So I just picked Lord Taco just... Literally for no reason, it was available.
Yeah, you certainly didn't think it was ever going to show up on a podcast, right?
No, if people were going to call me that in real life, I probably would have put a little more thought into the name.
But so Brad left. I mean, he left the lunch, and like the next day he said, well, I have a website. We have a podcast. I have a guy who's building it for us. It's Lord Taco. And we're going to do this show for 2 months, 3 months leading up to the 2018 Bonnaroo, and that was it. That was our thought, and we reached out to AC Entertainment, which was the co-founder of Bonnaroo, just so we could be legit, you know, and said, here's what we're going to do, and they were like, we love the idea. You can't use Bonnaroo in anything, any of your graphics, but we love the idea. So that's sort of where it started. We've been doing this ever since. Somewhere along the line, I don't remember what year it was, David, do you, when we met and sort of reached out, was it 19?
That sounds about right, yeah. I mean, I first met Russ, ironically enough, at a Speakeasy Miniroo the first year that Bonnaroo was canceled because of COVID.
Okay,
so and, 20. That's right.
Yeah. So I went, I was, you know, all dressed for the party and had no place to go. So I impulsively ended up going down to Lindsay's farm, which is about 30 minutes from where Bonnaroo is held every year. He invited a bunch of people down. I grabbed my camera gear, some film, met some fantastic people down there who none of I had ever met before. True Ruvians, you know, Russ was one of those people, and we started chatting, and it's kind of like I had a conversation with him there, I believe, before I actually even realized, you know, he was Lord Taco, even though I was fully aware of Lord Taco. You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I think I came into, you know, the fold with you folks.
Yeah. So
that was the inception of that. So.
Yeah. And yeah, for me, I mean, like you said, I had never been to Bonnaroo. 2018 was my first year. You guys had gone nearly every year. Of course, us living so close in Chattanooga, I've always heard of Bonnaroo, known people that gone, just had never gone for whatever reason. I've had the bus 20 years. And, you know, that's one of the most frequently asked questions when people see it and want to talk. They're like, oh, I bet you take it to Bonnaroo. And I'm like, no, I've never been. And then it started to become a question of, why haven't I been? What's, you know, so it was on my radar and I was thinking about going. And then when, you know, Brad approached and that said, can we get a website and a podcast? I said, sure. Can I get a ticket? And that was basically the agreement was, that was my payment, was to set all this up. I got a ticket to go. And of course we all thought this was a one-off, you know, we'll do this for the year and then that'll be it. But heck, we're, what, 6 years later, we're still doing
it. Yeah. David, you mentioned the Mini-Roo, and that's part of this journey. You mentioned Lindsay. Like I said, Brad and I talked about, we realized we were talking about Bonnaroo year-round. We have met, he and I knew Brad because of our jobs prior, but it was at Bonnaroo where we really met and hung out and became friends, and then we started Camp Nut Butter, which is named because his wife, Hillary, is a vegan vegetarian and makes her own nut butter. And quite frankly, nut butter is a funny word. So I said, that's what we should, you know, I just randomly said, let's see you guys next year at Camp Nut Butter. Well, it's, we now have a sign. We, I mean, it was a whole thing, right? So it's, it, the people that were there, we had like 28 people 1 year at its biggest, that I remember. Wow. And these are people that, you know, I would see once a year, but they were, like you said, David, they became family. Some were from Chattanooga, some not. You mentioned again, going back, the Mini-Roo, when we had the pandemic, had Mini-Roos all over the place. And Lindsay, who Russ and I saw earlier this month at Moon River, as we have every year for the last couple of years, one of the great Bonnaroo people, Sharla and Daniel, and they have some really cool stuff in the works, from the Roo Bus, the Real Roo Bus. These are people that we talk to year round. These are Chloe, you know, Liesl, people that have become friends because of Bonnaroo.
Parker.
Parker and Reed. it's just an amazing community. And so I wanted to sort of set that table as to why we're here, how we got here, and introduce David. Your project, bring everybody up to speed as to how you got to Bonnaroo, and then we'll sort of go from there, because you had a project at Bonnaroo this last year that I, again... Oh. Everything about your story and our story, to me, is what Bonnaroo is all about. For people who are listening, you guys know. I mean, there's nobody listening who's not been, who doesn't understand. But it's so much more than just a series of concerts, right? I mean, the live music is great.
Oh, for sure.
But it's so much more, and it's this community and the things that have come out of it. I mean, I never imagined we'd be doing this. I can only imagine you never thought you would be doing the I Am Bonnaroo project like you are. So bring people up to speed if you don't mind.
Sure. And before I do that, just to sort of comment on something that you said, one of the things that I learned this year specifically in the whole process with talking with folks from Bonnaroo who I'd never communicated with before is, you know, they are truly interested in the Bonnaroo community, and it's apparent, you know, that that's how they're really growing the Bonnaroo experience. I mean, I'm sure that if you talked with Daniel and Sharla from the Roo Bus, they would sort of say that's true as well too. And I mean, if you look at all of the things they've done in the plaza this year, they're really making Bonnaroo an expanded experience that goes beyond just the music, which is great because, you know, a lot of people that that go to Bonnaroo regularly say, you know, it's great to hear the lineup. I look forward to seeing the bands I want to see. I look forward to learning about artists that I've never heard of before, but they're really going for the Bonnaroo experience. And I think, to me, it's become obvious that the people who are sort of driving the Bonnaroo bus totally get that, and they're really capitalizing on that. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, we've seen this year all of the Outeroo experiences. I mean, it has a name now. They have all of these different plazas, and they really sort of put that into hard overdrive this year. You know, and luckily for me, I got to be a small part of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so I digress. But to get back to your last question, to try to summarize it, I first went to Bonnaroo in 2011. It was an impulsive decision. My daughter, who at the time was a freshman in college, sent my wife a message and said, I'm going to go to this music festival in Tennessee this year. She sent me a text. I was at work, and she said, what do you know about a festival called Bonnaroo in Tennessee? I said, it's a world-class music festival. Why? And she said, because Madison, our daughter, is thinking about going. And I told her that I was, wow. I said, I think that's great. I'm actually envious of that. So what happened was her roommate's dad at the time, who lives in Long Island, I live in upstate New York, had also told his daughter that he was kind of envious that she was going. And she suggested, well, why don't you get together with Madison's dad and you guys can go to Bonnaroo together. So my first trip to Bonnaroo was with somebody who I didn't know, who I got to know really well on a 1,000-mile journey down there. We still send each other Christmas cards every year. I think 2011 was the only year that he's been. But what a great experience, you know. And I mean, I think that's part of the Bonnaroo experience is the journey there. It's definitely making connections with people. It's you know, those memories and those stories that don't leave you, that stick and last, you know. So, you know, fast forward to now, I haven't missed a Bonnaroo. The first time I went to Bonnaroo in 2011, I decided to bring a camera and a few rolls of film because, you know, I'm a photographer, and just kind of shoot what was going on down there. And I didn't really have any expectation of what it was going to be like. And, you know, so, and we went, me and Joe, the guy that I went down there with in 2011, we just showed up massively unprepared. I mean, our tent neighbors must have just been pointing and laughing at us, you know. So I went down with a few rolls of film. I brought a vintage film camera because I sort of envisioned it being a little bit like Woodstock, and I kind of wanted to capture that Woodstock essence.
Let me interrupt a little bit. When you say that, for a lot of people, they think camera, they think their phone.
Yeah.
Was it black and white that first year, or did you bring color film, or, I mean, 120?
Nope,
I mean, what did you bring?
So I brought a 1969, to be very specific, Nikon film camera, 35mm film camera, because, you know, when I thought about how I wanted those images to possibly look, I was thinking of the original Woodstock Festival. I was thinking of, ironically enough, Vietnam.
So you did You did have a little bit of a vision. I mean, it was accidental, and I think it's important to this narrative. But you did have a little bit of vision going in. So
for sure.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, and the thing of it is the best laid plans, that whole saying, especially when you're walking into a scenario that you're not really that familiar with. I could have shot those half a dozen rolls of film that I brought with me in the first half a day I was at Bonnaroo. I was there, and I was like a kid walking around at Disney World for the first time. It was a visual feast. I had to pace myself. I had to try to source some additional film and just try to get through the weekend that way. So, you know, so if you think about 2011 going down with five or six rolls of film and a camera, now I travel down there with two primary cameras, a backup camera, and 45 rolls of film. Literally, that's what I did this year. And it's not just black and white, it's black and white and color.
Okay.
And, you know, I was a portrait photographer, and my philosophy is unless color plays a role in making a photo better, it's a distraction. So that's why I typically shot everything in black and white, and I still shoot black and white. But then, you know, I started, it kind of dawned on me after a few years that, you know, Bonnaroo was such a colorful place, and the people are so colorful that I was kind of missing, I was missing a little bit of that ingredient by just shooting black and white. So now I shoot pretty much equally black and white and color film there.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a difference between, because, you know, most people now, one click in Photoshop in a color photo becomes black and white.
Yeah.
But you are actually using black and white film that does not process any color. What's the difference between that and just clicking a button? Like, is the film, does it, you know, is it richer? Is
100%. And you know, the images that you see on my Instagram social feed are all low res, and they're JPEGs, so they're truncated. Yeah. So where you really notice the difference between a high-quality digital image and a high-quality film image is in the print, in the large print. I'm not saying that one is better. They just look and feel different. So to answer your question, black and white film has a very specific grain structure. I love grain. The more grain, the better. And it's you know, the image is actually captured by silver particles on film. Color film is a little bit different. I mean, I've shot color images that I've converted to black and white because I just thought the image was better in black and white or grayscale. But when you look at those, you can still tell that even though it kind of looks like a film image that was converted from color to black and white, from a print standpoint, the two images still look very different.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, because I would say there's a huge generation of people now who've never shot on a film camera. You know, digital photography is the only thing they know.
For
so
sure.
That's a pretty neat distinction.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why I asked. It is our phones take really nice photos, and we all can be really good photographers and capture a great image. But when you see a professional who knows what he's doing, it's a huge difference. And
it's there's definitely a difference. And you know, I see in the digital world that a lot more of the filters are sort of adding grain and, you know, dust speckles and trying to replicate the look and feel of film, which I think is very cool.
Yeah,
because to me it means that you know, people still want to see that kind of imagery, you know. But
anyway, so yeah, we're getting into the weeds here. So you realized pretty quickly that this was a treasure trove, right? You realized you had an opportunity to do something really cool with this festival, right?
Definitely, 100%. And so, you know, after I went the second year and was a little bit more prepared, I had said to my wife, you know what would be really cool is if I could turn this into like a 5-year project, because now it's not just, you know, some photos that I shot. Now it's a body of work. And if I could do it for 5 years, then that's kind of an accomplishment, you know? It's sort of like an opus, I guess. But once I got into it, I couldn't stop doing it. It just kept growing, and the more I went, the more I shot, the more feedback that I got from people, that I still get from people, that just kept the wind in my sails. It just kept going and kept going. So then I set my sight on a 10-year mark. I'm like, I'm gonna do this for 10 consecutive years, because that's, for me personally, that's an accomplishment. And of course, the 10th year was the COVID roux that never happened, you know, and that's how I ended up down at Lindsay's Farm. So.
Yeah,
and essentially, I did shoot Bonnaroovians.
And you reached out to us at one point. Thankfully, I guess you met Russ and reached out, and we had you on the show and talked about the great photos and what you were doing and your project. And then I remember you reached out and very humbly kind of said, you know, is there any way you can hook me up with the folks at at Bonnaroo and get you more access? I don't think you were asking for anything crazy or anything like that. And they were receptive. And then you started, for folks who you know, been part of this show for a while, you've seen David's work. One of the great parts about this whole festival is we started with the show getting access to artists and getting interviews and just kind of randomly, right, David? I mean, I don't know. It's not like it's a formal thing. You met us backstage and we'd got to do some interviews with some really cool artists. And you were like, do you mind if I take photographs of these artists? And we're like, heck no, that would be awesome. So, I mean, churches that was one of my favorite interviews ever. And you were there. I mean, we looked, right, Russ, we looked like we knew what we were doing, right? We come walking in with all of our equipment and we got a professional, two of them actually. Nate Gale also has been so kind to shoot artists for us. And, and you, David, so we get these amazing...
It's like we walked in with a whole crew. Like...
Yeah.
We look like we know what we're doing.
They had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so
Ironically enough, and I don't want to digress, but I was actually watching Church's live performance at Glastonbury from this year, last night.
Wow.
So, and, you know, to see them on that stage, you know, across the Great Pond... in that capacity, just doing their things. I'm literally sitting there saying to myself, I remember when I was with the What Podcast guys, sitting in a small trailer with these three people. And it was literally, literally surreal. Well, wow.
It was so cool. It was very cool. Yeah. Anyway. So again, trying to tell this story sort of as tightly as I can, or we can. So you went your first 5 years, 6 years by yourself, took all these photographs, right? I mean, in their huge format. I remember I remember asking you to send us a copy. And I mean, it's a big, big digital format. These are not, again, iPhone photos. So you're very serious about it. And so you did that. And then tell us about this last year, because again, this is the part of the journey, I heard you say that earlier. This has been a journey. The whole Bonnaroo experience for so many people is a journey, and it has evolved and developed. And again, for people who don't know or new to it, it's just so much more than a list of bands who are performing. There's all these things that are happening behind the scenes, year round, whatever, just like we're talking about. So when did they reach out to you, or tell that story? Cause you came to our camp this last year on, was it Sunday morning or Saturday? Sunday morning, wasn't it?
I think it was Sunday morning.
I think it was the last day.
I think it was Sunday morning. Yeah. You came and were telling us about this project that you had at Bonnaroo. And I really want to get into that because it's so cool. And it illustrates not just your journey, but it illustrates Bonnaroo's, as you kind of alluded to earlier, their acceptance of all these things like this and their willingness to say, there's a lot of cool stuff happening, like with the Roo Bus and the Beer Exchange and the Parachute People, and there are so many cool things that people are doing that are part of this experience that are not, you know, they're not on the program, so to speak, though some of these things are. But anyway, tell us about that, how that happened and how it evolved and what you did.
Okay, so how it happened, and there's a lot of details, and I'm going to try to consolidate it for you a little bit, but... So it was February, it was sometime in February of this year. And, you know, at that point, everything's kind of radio silent from Bonnaroo for the obvious reasons, you know, they're in between things. And I got a random email one day from somebody from Bonnaroo. And so they basically said, hey, we're wondering if you might be interested in possibly a collaboration this year. It was literally... just like that. And I had to read it like three or four times because, I mean, obviously that's a rhetorical question, you know? So I simply responded Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and they, so I got an email back probably the next day that said, okay, great. At this point, maybe we should try to do a FaceTime or a Zoom meeting so that we can finally, you know, meet you and meet us and we can kind of get to know each other. And so many words. And I'm like, perfect, just let me know when. So another day or so goes by and they said, are you available next Wednesday at 11 o'clock? And I said, yes, I am. So still, I had no idea what was going on. I had a week to think about it. I was trying not to overthink it. It could have been something that I wasn't maybe interested in doing, or it could have been something great. I really had right. no idea, you know? So the Zoom meeting was me and two people from Bonnaroo. Actually, one of the people was from C3 Presents, who is based out of Austin, who organizes a lot of festivals, Bonnaroo being one of them. And the second person that was on that Zoom was Corey, and I'm sure he probably wouldn't mind me mentioning his name. You guys have had Corey on your show.
Yeah, we're going to have him on here in mm-hmm. a couple weeks, very soon. So
yeah, I literally looked at him when I saw him pop up in the Zoom window, and I said, I know you from the What Podcast. And he just started laughing. But so anyways... So the first Zoom conversation was fairly brief. It was kind of like, hey, nice to meet you. And it was kind of like, just so you know, we love your project. We've been following it for years. For me, that was a massive win right there. And they said, we'd like to collaborate with you somehow. Don't know how you feel about that and don't even really know what that would possibly look like. So... in a sense, do you have any ideas? Maybe we can come up with some ideas together. So I was totally unprepared for that because going into it, I thought they sort of had an idea or a vision for what this collaboration would be. So I kind of thought about it for a second and I said, well, I said, in a perfect world, I said, you know, one year I went on the farm and I saw some Danny Clinch photos. Danny Clinch is a legendary concert photographer, and they had a few of his photos just wheat pasted on some of the barricades throughout Centerville. I thought that was really cool. I mean, I literally said, wow, this is fantastic. And I told them that, and I said, so I guess kind of a dream of mine might be that I could walk into Centerville Bonnaroo at some point and see one of my images, some of my images displayed somehow. I said that would be a major accomplishment for me, you know. And without hesitating, they said, we can do that. I was like, wow, great. And then they talked and they said, well, we'll reach out to this person who manages all of those things at Bonnaroo and we'll get back to you and we'll let you know what that looks like. But maybe we could do like 12 to 18 photos. And I'm like, that would be incredible, honestly. So another week or so went by. And they came back and they said, yeah, we're going to do that. Can we possibly have maybe around 30 images? And I said, yes, you can. So without going to that, so there was days in between kind of very gray communication. But every time they asked for something, I'm like, absolutely. Thank you so much. That actually grew into over 100 high resolution images by the time it was all said and done, which they used at the rest stop plaza. And you know, I'll talk more about that. But I didn't even really know what that was going to look like until I showed up. I didn't know how those photos were going to be used. They could have just cherry picked their favorite 15 out of the 100 that I sent and used those. I had no idea what it was going to be. But as far as the yearbook thing goes, what had happened in one of these conversations is I impulsively sent them an email. And I said, hey, listen, I said, maybe for 2024 down the road, I had this idea of doing a photo shoot of, you know, a portrait session of the Bonnaroovians, kind of make it look a little bit like a red carpet event. And I mocked up one of my previous photos with a made up blurb for the person in the photo and said, hey, my first year at Bonnaroo was this, and my favorite part of Bonnaroo is this. And I said, and this is how this could possibly look. And one of those folks in the five people that this email chain had grown into said, this is a pretty cool idea. We'll talk about it and we'll get back to you. And I'm like, awesome. Another week or so goes by, and they asked if I was, they sent a message and said, are you available to do another Zoom meeting next Tuesday at 1 o'clock? And I said, yes, I am. And this was with a whole different group of people. And I thought at that point we were still talking about the photo installation that I had been working on with them. And what I realized was they wanted to sort of hit the ground running with this project that became the Bonnaroo yearbook series. And they kind of came up with the name the yearbook series with the idea that it would be something that would continue from one year to the next. So at that point, I'm pretty excited because now I'm like, they're not just talking about a one-off for 2024 or even 2023. They're talking about this possibly growing into a regular thing. And, you know, I had said to them, I said, I think that folks would really dig this. I think it's another way to engage people there, but not only there during the festival, but to keep people engaged after the festival by just trickling these things out as we go along. They said, yeah, we think that's a great idea. Let's do it. So that's truncating a pretty long story about how the yearbook series became, and that sort of was started running parallel before Bonnaroo this year with the whole photo installation thing that I was doing. And that's what the whole initial conversation was about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all I really had to do was they asked, all I had to do was sort of put out an idea that I had. They liked it and it became a true collaboration because they named the project. They gave the project a space. And not only that, but after Bonnaroo this year, they put me in contact with the person who is their lead graphic designer. And that individual came up with the color scheme that I use for all of the yearbook posts, sent me the font, which is a licensed font, by the way. They actually paid a typographer in like Switzerland or Germany to design their Bonnaroo font. And if you look at it, it's very unique. It has the Bonnaroo logo sort of built into the O's and zeros and stuff. So, you know, so from that standpoint, it definitely became a true collaboration, you know?
See, I hope people who, if you're still with us, you understand when I said this is the journey. That's what we were going to talk about on this show is, wow. I remember when you were sitting with us on that Sunday morning, and it was a brief conversation, but I mean, I remember thinking this is going to be a great podcast episode or multiple ones because what a journey, right?
Yeah.
Halfway through that conversation, I was wishing we had
hit record.
We're recording because like this is a great story.
Yeah. I thought the same. Where's the camera? Where's the recorder?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much about it. It illustrates the Bonnaroo's willingness to do cool things, right? I mean, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I remember walking in that very first day in 2002 thinking, this is a different event. You know, these guys are willing to and trying to do cool things for the fans.
Definitely.
For themselves, right? It wasn't, I've said it since we started this show, I never felt like they had their hand in my wallet. It wasn't about a money grab. It was about doing cool stuff, right?
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, you know, David, you come from New York on a whim because your daughter's coming. You come with a guy you've never met before and you thought, this is a cool thing. And look where it's come. So, tell us, I remember your yearbook series. Tell us about the family, I think, that you shot. I think it was a husband and wife and maybe a child, or maybe it was just a husband and wife, but he had a particular request as to how he wanted to be photographed, right?
Yeah, that was a standout for me. I had a lot of standouts. I mean, I was thrilled with the turnout from the people, the enthusiasm. One of the things that I had mentioned real quick to the folks in the Zoom call is I really want the yearbook series to showcase the diversity of the Bonnaroo community. I'm hoping it's not, you know, one or two kinds of people that show up for it. And it's truly a diverse photo series. And I'm only about halfway through it, to be perfectly honest with you. I shot a lot, but I'm sorry to answer your question. So this guy and his, I can't remember if his wife or his girlfriend showed up, and as I'm getting ready to take their photo, he says to me, "Do you mind if I get naked for my photo?" And I said, "I'd be disappointed if you didn't, you know?" So he did. And meanwhile, my buddy Scott, who's helping me out with this, who is essential to me, you know, getting through this every day, had a whole line of people who had showed up for the time slot that were waiting to get their photo taken. There was probably 15 people in the line at the time. And this dude literally just dropped everything except for the hat he was wearing. He got naked, and I took him and his wife's photo in front of a line full of people. I asked him to hold her fan in front of, you know, his midsection, because I'm like, there's no way that I'll ever be able to show these on socials, or there's no way Bonnaroo will ever share them if you're full on naked. So he did that, and that ended up being the shot that I used. But
yeah, he had like one of the Japanese fans, right? You said fan. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those. What do they call those? Those pop fans or something
like
that? I'm not
sure what their technical term is, but yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, just one of my great stories that I got from shooting that series this year, you know.
So the other thing you said, and it gave me chills to hear you talk about it, and you mentioned Danny Glinch, who is terrific. So what was it like for you to walk in and see your photographs? It was the Where in the Woods, right? They were on the fence area leading in.
Yep.
What was that like, man? I can't even imagine.
Wow. So what happened was we entered Bonnaroo in an area that we never entered before this year, because we were camping in a vendor camping area. They gave us directions on how to get there. And when we got to the security check-in point, we were met by a person in a golf cart who sort of chaperoned us to where we needed to be. So as we actually start getting into the Bonnaroo grounds on the farm, start seeing the tents, we start driving down the dirt road that basically goes right past Where in the Woods. And then all of a sudden we came up to this chain link fence that had all of the photos just displayed. And we're literally driving to where we were going to be camping. And that was the first time I saw that. It was the first time I realized exactly how all of those images that I sent to them were being used, because I still really had no idea. But there was over 100 large format images mounted on that chain link fence. They printed 9 12 foot long vinyl panels and just decorated the outside of that fence that led into the rest stop. And I got chills.
I just did again.
Probably even had tears welled up in my eyes, because I never would have, even before I got the email in February, I wasn't close to ending this project, but you know, I was getting to the point where it's like, okay, it's kind of plateauing a little bit. It's sort of status quo. What's next? You know, what do I do that's anything different to try to grow this a little bit? And then boom, I get that email in February. And then to see that come to fruition in June, the way that it did was just, it's like, wow, okay, I'm definitely not, I'm not done here yet, you know?
Along those lines, so, what, you know, the idea is, ask for it, reach for the moon. What's your idea? What do you want to do? I mean, the yearbook thing, you want to continue. I assume you're going to continue your photographs. Is there something else? You know, maybe you can't talk about it yet. I don't even know. I haven't asked you yet, but is there something else you want to do?
Not really. And I, you know, well, I don't want to say not really. There's lots I want to do. I mean, I definitely want to continue with the yearbook series because I think that now people actually see what it's what it is. It's going to generate even more interest. And I think that if I do it again this year, I mean, I was told that I would be doing it this year. I don't want to take that for granted. But I think that, you know, I'll probably have a little bit of a different space and things like that. But I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, I'd love to do a book. And one of the reasons why I haven't really started compiling that yet is because I'm not done with the project yet, you know. But at some point, I definitely want to do a book that's going to sort of be the whole I Am Bonnaroo sort of story. And I think that, I don't know, probably not from a printed standpoint, but I think Bonnaroo is definitely going to be doing something with the yearbook series photos as well, whether it's an online thing or whatever. But, you know, one of the things that you said is to people is ask, you know, if you have an idea, if you think nobody that you're sending emails or messages into the abyss to the folks at Bonnaroo, just put it out there. And even if you don't get a response, doesn't mean that they're not paying attention and they're not listening, because that's truly my personal experience with them. And what I found out afterwards is that they had been paying attention all along.
Yeah. We've found the same,
and, you know, that,
I mean, you remember, Russ, I'll never, I mean, there've been so many incidents, but do you remember when we asked to interview Steven and Brian, the guys who booked the artist, and actually what I had reached out to Ted Heining and said, I'd like to interview you. And he said, nah, you don't want to talk to me. How about you talk to the guys who actually booked the artist? And I'm like, are you kidding? That's an option. And then,
yeah, we had no idea.
No idea. And then I, you know, I slept on it overnight and I thought, they're just in Knoxville. They're an hour and a half away. Why don't we go up there? And they said, come on. Mm. You know, so that I'm glad you mentioned that again, David, because that sort of thing is, I think, why this festival is so different. If somebody has a good idea, 100%. They're willing to at least listen and see if it can't work. And I mean,
yes.
You know, let's be honest, it's great for them because it's free labor. I mean, you know, at the very basic, you know, they get free stuff and it's cool.
Sure. Yeah.
But not everybody does that. You know, not everybody is willing to say, absolutely do it, run with it. So that's really cool.
You know, and the thing of it is I had multiple Zoom meetings with these folks, and at the end of every one of them, they said, okay, great. Is there anything else that, you know, you need from us? And every time I was never prepared for that. And, and to be honest with you, I never asked. I was just so grateful to be doing that. I never asked for anything. You know, I mean, this project for me I've never made a dollar from this project. It's a labor of love. Yeah. Matter of fact, it's cost me thousands of dollars.
Yeah, understand,
filming,
don't we?
Processing.
We understand.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not a money thing. It's totally a passion project for me. And you want to know something? My reward for that is them paying attention and them sort of, you know, helping me sort of show the work.
Well.
And they're doing that on a grandiose scale.
Well, I think I can speak for Russ and Brad. I mean, for us to be able to go online and see your photo of churches and Briston Maroney and whoever else, you know, you were there shooting, it's a wow. It's a wow. I can't believe we got to do that. That was really cool type of thing. So, I did want to ask, it's a kind of a personal thing, but what does your wife and daughter think of this now? Not like your wife doesn't go, my wife doesn't go, but she 100% sees the passion that I have for it. And so she's like, it's your thing. Go have a great time, you know? And for me, you know, if it's a week, I'm gone for a week sometimes, not this last time. And she gets it. So, you know, give her a little shout out. I assume she's very supportive, like my wife is.
Yeah, you know, I don't. Maybe it's the name Kelly, because both of our wives' names are Kelly. But I can tell you that my project wouldn't be what it is right now without my wife's support. And that's the only way that I can sort of summarize that. She has never been to Bonnaroo. She has no desire to go to Bonnaroo. Right. It's not her thing. She is this project's largest fan. And I can say that. And so is my daughter, and so are my two sons. Both of my sons were music industry majors. They've both been to Bonnaroo with me. My daughter, by the way, showed up as a surprise on Father's Day while I was doing the yearbook shoot. Said she wasn't going to be there because she had a work commitment, which was true. And she showed up and surprised me while I was doing the yearbook thing on Father's Day.
Nice.
Wow.
See?
Incredible.
Very cool. All right. What have we, anything I haven't asked about? This was everything that I thought it would be, right? What am I missing, Russ?
Yeah. I want to go back to that. You mentioned the 2020 year when Bonnaroo was canceled, and that was going to be your 10-year anniversary of this thing. And, you know, we kind of both showed up at this mini roo out in Winchester, Tennessee. You know, I think your experience was kind of similar to mine. I didn't know anyone. I knew Daniel and Sharla, and I get a text with an address and just says, show up this weekend. And I'm thinking, okay, there's no Bonnaroo, so we might as well try this. So, you know, I hop in the car and drive out to very, very rural Tennessee.
Beautiful.
And don't know anybody, don't know what I'm going to show up at. Had never met Lindsay before, and, you know, it was his property. And what there was maybe 50 of us that kind of just showed up. And of course, by the end of the weekend, we were all, you know, really close. And that's kind of where this friendship started was, you know, since there was no Bonnaroo, we were forced to try these different, you know, kind of last minute alternative camping plans and all that.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely had an impact on how we've kind of evolved as far as just, because, you know, like we, you know, there's a bunch of people I met there, including you, that we talk almost every day.
Mm. Was that the year you came? Yeah. You came to my house, David? Was that the same year, or was it the next?
I think that was 2021, because we did two of these mini rooms.
Yeah. So, and actually, if I could take a minute to talk about both of those things, when I, you know, one of my interests in going to the first mini roo was because I really wanted to see if the Bonnaroo spirit thrived and survived outside of the farm on those 4 days. And it did. And then some. It was fantastic. I pulled in there, like Russ said, I knew nobody, knew, had no idea what to expect. By the time I was out of my car, I had a few people walking over and asking me if I needed help setting up my tent. Russ and I got to know each other. We ended up doing a second trip during another canceled Bonnaroo thing. I'm texting him like, hey, are you going down to Lindsay's farm? And he's like, yes, I am. So I'm driving down the 1,000-mile journey by myself. I get a message from Russ saying, hey, Mark Rubelet, pronouncing his name wrong, I'm sure, is going to be playing in Chattanooga. He was supposed to be on Bonnaroo's lineup that year. He said, we're going to go see him in Chattanooga. Are you interested in going? I'm like, yes, I'm interested in going. So, you know, that was a great thing that I got to do with Russ, you know, during another year that Bonnaroo was canceled. We jumped in the bus. We came to your house. It was the first time I met you and Brad. You were an amazing host. Definitely a highlight for me that weekend. I got to meet you guys. We had a couple of beers on your porch. It was just a fantastic journey. It was literally just another chapter to the whole Bonnaroo journey for me personally, you know.
And the thing is,
that's
it's not just us. I mean, that's what is so amazing, is it's not like there's just these 50 people or 10 people that have these experiences. There's thousands of them that have similar experiences, right? That's what makes this thing so special.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, there's a bunch of people that are going to listen to the podcast that'll hear that part if it doesn't get edited out, and they're going to be like, I can relate to that. And honestly, I'll be honest with you guys, and I'm not just trying to throw some sunshine your way, but you know, if I didn't know you, I would still listen to the podcast, because when you listen to the podcast, it's like sitting there being part of a conversation with people that you know, and you're talking about things that, you know, some commonality. You understand the Bonnaroo experience because you've been there. So it feels like you're just part of a conversation with some friends in a room. So that that's the beauty of the What podcast, you know?
It's like nothing else I know of. I mean, we all have hobbies and passions and whatever, but I don't know anything else like this. And it's very cool. And I'm so happy for you, David. It that Sunday morning with you and Russ, we're sitting there, and I think we had a couple other campmates who I could just see in their faces, like, really? What? I mean, that is so cool, you know? It's it's like I said, it's this journey that we've all been on, and can't wait to see what happens next. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, right?
Yeah.
You and me both, because for me personally, I had going into the new year, I had no idea that I thought I was going to go into another year reaching out to somebody that I've never met before, asking for photo credentials so that I could get my camera gear into center. A lot of people just, you know, they'll message me and they'll be like, hey, how do I get photo credentials to shoot Bonnaroo? And my response is, that's a good question, because up until this point, I've had to try to figure that out every year, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you know, to be clear, it's because some people are going to be thinking that you're not shooting bands. And I don't know why I feel like we need to say that. Because that's when people think photo, they think you're going to be shooting the bands. That's not your interest and not what you're after. And you're interested in the experience. And there's plenty of that to photograph. So, all right.
Well, Well,
David, thank you so much for giving up your time and for what you're doing and for being a friend to us and to this show. And, I just think it's awesome. And I, like I said, there's dozens and dozens of similar stories about people who have found Bonnaroo and it become an adventure and a journey. And it's changed my life. There's no question about it. And I wouldn't know Russ. I wouldn't know Brad, really.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't know you, David, without Bonnaroo. And I'm better for it. So... very cool.
100%.
All right.
Yeah, I've said to a number of people in the past that I don't think I was a bad person before Bonnaroo. I don't want to suggest that, but I've definitely become a better rounded person because of the Bonnaroo experience, for sure. I mean, it's cause and effect, you know?
Yeah, just be cool, man. So, I mean, that's the thing, right?
Just be cool.
Just be cool.
Yeah, just relax.
All right. All right.
See this glass right here? It says calm the fuck down. You probably can't read that, but that's the mantra, you know. Just whatever.
All right. Thank you so much. Rush, you know I love you. Good to see you guys. David, thank you. I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
This summer. And I know we'll talk before then.
Yeah, looking forward to spending some quality time with you guys on the farm again. If not before somehow.
If
also,
not sooner, yeah.
Yeah,
that's awesome. like you said, that Sunday when the three of us were just kind of sitting at camp, just telling stories and talking. I mean, that's what we wanted to bring to this show, and that kind of, it's nice to revisit that. So I'm definitely looking forward to next year.
All right.
Yeah, I'm honored, guys. Thanks. Appreciate you.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, so there you go. David Bruce, what a great guy. What a good friend. I mean, you know, when people ask me, do you know somebody, my sort of dividing line, if you will, is have they been to my house? David Bruce has been to my house.
He sure has.
So he's a friend. I consider him a very close friend, and I absolutely respect what he does.
Me too, yep. Can't wait to see what he does for next year. Maybe he can get a chance to come down to Chattanooga for Moon River. That'd be cool too.
Seriously, can you imagine driving up on a golf cart and seeing your photographs 12 feet big on a fence at Bonnaroo?
I know that's got to be just mind-blowing.
That's really cool. All right, guys. Thank you all. Have a great day. Have a great week. Have a great life.
Consequence Podcast Network.